If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, as we continue in our series, Why Jesus? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you for that reminder, Lord, and there is a sweet by and by for all of us who are trusting in you. Lord, this life and this world is very soon going to be over with, and we are going to be with you forever and ever. Just pray, Lord, that you would just remind us again this morning how important it is that we are ready for that death when it comes. You don't come and take us first, and how much we need to be trusting you as our Savior. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. What do you want on your tombstone? Last month, Salon.com came out with a list of some of the silliest epitaphs ever carved on tombstones all over the world. And here's just a few. Here lies Lester Moore, four slugs from a 44. No less, no more. For a dentist, stranger, approach this spot with gravity. John Brown is filling his final cavity. On Rodney Dangerfield's tombstone, it says this: there goes the neighborhood. On Merv Griffin's, it says this: I will not be right back after this message. And finally, from a man named Lawrence Cook: Ma loves Pa, Pa loves women, Ma caught Pa with two women swimming. Here lies Pa. Now, as silly as those epitaphs are, do you know what every single one of them has in common? Not one of them. Not one of them says anything at all about any kind of hope in life after death. Hope that the Bible says we only find in Jesus Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series simply called Why Jesus? Looking at all kinds of reasons why, in this pluralistic world we're living in, we should believe in only Jesus and serve only Jesus. And today we see that we should believe only in Jesus because only Jesus gives us any kind of hope when it comes time to die. And to see that, we turn today to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. In Hebrews chapter 2, this part, the Apostle Paul is giving us reasons why Jesus had to come to this earth as a human being. And our text today tells us one of those reasons is so that Jesus could die in our place and overcome death. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, our hope is that through simple faith in Jesus Christ, one day we will overcome death as well. Our text this morning, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, tells us three reasons why Jesus Christ gives us hope in time of death. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus gives us hope in death, is because Jesus died and rose again, which is the biggest reason why, verse 14, Jesus had to come to earth as a human being. Since the children, us human beings, have flesh and blood bodies, Jesus, the Son of God, took on a flesh and blood body too and shared our humanity and became a man. And not so he could take selfies or go duck hunting or tailgate at the Bears games. Jesus became a human being, and a man, and shared our humanity so that he could die, fulfill his mission of dying as a perfect man for sinful man, to pay the debt for our sin, and to save us from death. And people, listen to me. Death is real. Even for every single one of us in this room right now. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Because every single one of us sins, every single one of us dies. Now, it doesn't surprise us at all when old people die. Just recently, former presidential candidate Ross Perot died at age 89. Comedian Tim Conway died at age 86. Actor Peter Fonda dead at age 81. But even young people dying too. 36-year-old former NFL running back Cedric Benson killed last August the 17th in a motorcycle accident. 27-year-old Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs died last July 1st when he choked on his own vomit after ODing on fentanyl. 15-year-old Layla Hernandez was killed last Saturday, August the 31st, in Odessa, Texas, by a 36-year-old head case who just started shooting people at random after losing his job. And Layla Hernandez was killed standing right next to her brother as they came out of a Toyota dealership where her brother was just looking at buying a car. Death can happen in any way, to anyone, anytime, anywhere. 41 people shot and 8 people killed in Chicago just this past Labor Day weekend. Life seems so cheap, you can even get killed today just going shopping at Walmart. Young, old, rich, poor, male, female, famous, unknown, religious, atheist, heart attack, car accident, suicide, natural causes, as in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. There are no exceptions. In spite of all the isogenics and the South Beach diets and the Peloton bicycles, the mortality rate today is still 100%, which means one out of every one person still dies. Which means unless Jesus Christ comes first, every single one of us in this room is going to die sometime too. And folks, we've got to realize, contrary to popular opinion, death is not just something natural, like Yoda wants to say in Star Wars. Author Dorothy Adhill said this, "Death is perfectly natural. It's just a friend to be embraced because it's not the end of life. It's just a part of life, just a part of the life cycle." That movie Lion King teaches that circle of life claptrap. The lions eat the antelope. The lions die and fertilize the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. Circle of life, no worries, Hakuna Matata. A mommy told her 5-year-old boy one day, after mommy dies and you see flowers in the spring, you'll know that it's mommy who's fertilizing those flowers. And the little boy screamed and said, "But mommy, I don't want you to be fertilizer." People, have you ever heard that in the receiving line at a funeral visitation? "Well, your relative, your loved one is fertilizer now. Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so much better about my loss." No. Because God has placed eternity in our hearts. Even unbelievers know we're supposed to be more than recycled fertilizer. That's why poet Dylan Thomas wrote that line, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Even unbelievers know that death is not something okay. Even animals sense it. Last year at President George H.W. Bush's funeral visitation in the Capitol Rotunda, his dog Sully laid by his casket the entire time. Look at his face. Even that dog knows that there's something wrong with death. And you know why? Because death is not just something natural. Because death is not what God originally intended to happen to human beings. Because God originally created us to live forever. But Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, "Death came into the world because of sin. Because we sin, we die. And because death keeps us from living forever like God intended, death is not a friend to be embraced. Death is an enemy to be destroyed." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 26. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth as a human being and died on a cross and rose from the dead. To pay the price for our sins so we could live forever like God intended. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, "Yeah, but Kevin, that resurrection, that's just a symbol." But of what? All bad things turn out for good? Tell that to all the victims of Hurricane Dorian this past week. People, Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead because all the evidence is there. His tomb was empty. And none of his enemies have ever produced his body to prove that the resurrection didn't happen. And the risen Jesus was seen by over 500 different eyewitnesses who were not hallucinating because Jews do not believe in divine men or individual one-off resurrections before the general resurrection of all people at the end of time. And all the 12 disciples except one died the death of a martyr. And who dies for something that they know is a lie? Why Jesus? Because what other God from what other faith system ever died for our sin and then rose from the dead to guarantee our salvation? I'll hang up and wait for my answer. The answer is none. Buddha and Muhammad both died of food poisoning. And I can take you to their graves where they are still dead and buried to this day. So why in the world should we listen to anything those losers have to say about life after death? People, Jesus really did die and then rise again from the dead. And by simple faith in Him one day, we will rise too. Jesus, only Jesus has the cred when it comes to death and resurrection. Every traveling carnival in America today has one of those basketball games where for so much money you get so many shots from about 10 feet away. But of course the ball is smaller than regulation size to throw off your shot and the hoop is just big enough for the ball to go through. So they got you right where they want you. And if you're ever really going to win that game, you've got to be really, really good at basketball like he is. Upper right, guy named Gilbert Arenas. Because last July the 28th at the Orange County Fair in California, Gilbert Arenas played that basketball game for over 2 hours and never missed one shot. And as you see there in the picture, won so many big prizes and stuffed animals for his kids, fair officials banned him from the fair. And made a rule from now on, a person can only win one game a certain number of times before they have to quit. And you know why Gilbert Arenas won that game so many times that day? Because in case you don't recognize the name, Gilbert Arenas is a former three-time NBA All-Star. Folks, Gilbert Arenas was a ringer. But see, so was Jesus Christ. So when we human beings were dead in trespasses and sins and deserving of nothing but hell, the devil had Jesus right where he wanted him, on the cross, dead as a doornail. But see, Jesus is an all-star too, because He's the Lord of life, and He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and He holds the keys to death and Hades. So when Jesus died, He not only paid the debt for our sin, He also bore the punishment for our sin, which is death. Then He rose from the dead 3 days later to set us free from death and sin and the devil forever. And because the devil can never ban Jesus from playing, Jesus just keeps winning more and more and more people to the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus said, I am the living one. I was once dead, but behold, now I am alive forever and ever. And through simple faith in Jesus Christ, we can live forever too. The first reason why Jesus gives us hope in death is because Jesus died and rose again. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus gives us hope in death. Not only because Jesus died and rose again, but secondly, because Jesus destroyed the power of death. Verse 14, and the one who holds that power, which is the devil. Now, just to be clear, the devil is just a pipsqueak fallen angel with a big head and a big mouth. So the one who's really in control of death is God. From Him flow the issues of life. He's the maker of my life. He's the taker of my life. So death is not just some demonic victory. Death is a divine sentence, a judgment, a death penalty passed on us by God because of our sinning and rebelling against it. But because it's the devil who tempts us to sin, and because one of the consequences of sin is death, verse 14 here says that the devil holds the power of death. And how does Jesus destroy that power? Verse 14, by His death. And that word destroy in the Greek literally means to nullify or to cancel out the effects of. So when Jesus died on the cross, He died in our place and He exchanged His righteousness for our guilt. So Jesus not only paid the debt that we owed to God because of our sin and innocent life, Jesus also canceled the penalty that we deserved from God because of our sin, which is a guilty death. Jesus destroyed nullified, canceled out the power that death has over us. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. When Jesus died on the cross, death swallowed him up. But then 3 days later, Jesus whipped it in triple overtime by blowing the doors off and rising from the dead. Because Jesus was innocent, death had no right to hold on to him. And see, if we are in Christ and innocent, because we are covered with His righteousness, death has no right to hold on to us either. Jesus destroys the power of death. In Christ means that whatever Jesus did, we will do. Jesus died once for sin. We will die once because of sin. After Jesus died, He rose to new life and will never die again. After we die, we will rise to new life too, and we will never die again either. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Because death no longer has any power over Jesus, death no longer has any power over us to keep us separated from God. Jesus destroys, nullifies, cancels out the power that death has over us. And why does that matter? Now, the driver of that vehicle with that dash cam was killed instantly in that collision. And the question is, what if that was us? What if that was you? What would happen to you when you died? Howard Stern said this, "Here's what happens when you die. You sit in a box and get eaten by worms. I guarantee you that when you die, nothing cool happens." And that's the majority opinion. Nothing happens when you die. But the question is, how do you know that? You ever die? When did Howard Stern become an expert by dying and then coming back to life to tell us all about it? Like never? You say, but Kevin, how do you know anything happens after you die? Last month, two scientists, Dr. Stuart Amaroff and Dr. Roger Penrose, claim they discovered evidence that proves the existence of the human soul. All kinds of specialized data and information stored in the microtubules of brain cells that, according to encephalograms, survives death because it can never be lost and it can never be destroyed. Dr. Roger Penrose said this, "The evidence is unmistakable. The very first proof ever discovered that there is a part of all of us, a part that has to be spiritual, that actually does survive death." And even better yet, Jesus Christ, who is the only person who actually ever did die and come back to life, tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that the very nanosecond you die, right afterwards, you go and you stand before God for judgment. Everybody who's trusting in Jesus as their Savior goes to a place of paradise forever. Everybody who is not trusting Jesus as their Savior goes to a place of punishment forever. And your destination is determined by the decision you make about Jesus Christ right here in this lifetime. Actor Nick Nolte said this, "I realize that death will come for me before too long, and I want to prepare for it without too much conscious thought. I've had a good time living, and I look forward to a good time dying." Well, that all depends on where he's going. You go to a funeral and you hear people say things like, "Well, at least she's in a better place now." How do you know she's in a better place? "Well, at least he's not suffering anymore." How do you know the suffering isn't any worse? How do you know it's not worse than he's ever experienced before in his entire life? Because see, regardless of what people think about gender, life after death is binary. Because Matthew chapter 25 verse 46 says there's only two places you can go when you die. That's either heaven or hell, depending on the decision you make for Christ. You say, well, Kevin, I don't believe in hell. So what? Just because you don't believe in hell doesn't mean it isn't true. And you're not believing it is not going to lessen your time or lower the temperature there one bit. You don't have to believe in hell at all. But see, you still do have to die, and you still do have to stand before God, and you still will have to go there. Well, Kevin, hell is not fair. Yeah, it is. You didn't want anything to do with God in this life. God won't have anything to do with you in the next life. You're getting exactly what you want. It's perfectly fair. But Kevin, how could a good God... The only reason at all that there is a hell is because God is good. Because God's going to make sure that all sin gets punished and paid for. You don't trust Jesus to pay for your sin by what He did for you at the cross? Then you will pay for your own sin. And because we human beings cannot possibly ever pay off our own sin, you will be paying for that sin for eternity in a place called hell. And don't you dare talk to me about God not being good. This is a God who crucified His own Son on a cross because He loves us so much to make sure that you wouldn't have to go to hell. There's anybody listening to this sermon right now and all this talk about hell is ticking you off? Then go talk to Jesus and change your destination. See the sign? I'll tell you to go to hell, but I work there and I don't want to see you every day. People, listen. Hell is no joke because hell is a real place and there are real people who are really suffering there right now. While you were sleeping last night, there were people suffering in hell. And wailing and gnashing their teeth. While you were watching the Bears game last Thursday night, there were people suffering in hell, begging for one drop of water from your Yeti. And begging for one more chance to repent and get out, but that chance is never coming. Because once you die, it's too late, and hell lasts forever. And what's even sadder, all of our songs tell us there's a whole highway to hell, but there's only a stairway to heaven, which tells you about the amount of traffic there's going to be on each one of those roads. People, hell is a horrible place. And the only chance, the only hope that any of us have of escaping it is Jesus Christ. God doesn't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there either. But see, it's not my decision, is it? It's yours. And today, right here, right now, you can make that decision and choose to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and trust the blood He shed on the cross to take your sins away and go to heaven instead. And for us Christians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, death means we're absent from the body. It means we're present with the Lord, just like that. Christians, the very nanosecond we close our eyes in death, we are going to wake up in a paradise place called heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we will be there forever and ever. And sometimes death is so hard that hope is absolutely the only thing that is ever going to get you through it. Andre and Jordan Anchando from El Paso, Texas, were still in the honeymoon phase. Andre had started his own business remodeling kitchens. They fell in love. They both got saved and gave their lives and hearts to Christ. They got married back in August of 2018. He adopted her 5-year-old daughter and her 2-year-old daughter from a previous relationship. Last May, they had their first baby together, a little boy named Paul. And Andre had just got done building a brand new house for them. Great Christians, great parents, great conservatives and patriots. So last Saturday, August the 4th, they decided that they would throw a big party for all their family and friends to celebrate the new house, their first wedding anniversary, and 5-year-old daughter Skylyn's birthday. So that morning, they dropped Skylyn off at cheerleading practice while they took the baby and ran to Walmart to pick up some things. But 10:30 that morning, 21-year-old Patrick Cruces from Allen, Texas, who was hell-bent on killing Hispanics, walked into that Walmart with an AK-47 and started shooting. And when he aimed that rifle at the Anchandos, Andre rushed him to try to grab it away, but got shot in the chest and in the heart. while Jordan, holding on to that baby, just fell to the floor on top of him to try to protect him and shield him. She got shot in the neck and in the back. Police found little baby Paul still locked in Jordan's arms, covered with his mother's blood, but he wasn't hurt at all. Jordan died in high ambulance on the way to the hospital. Andre died in another hospital early that next Monday morning. 22 people killed, 27 people, other people injured and wounded. But Andre and Jordan died heroes, saving the life of that little baby boy. Meanwhile, the cheerleader coach heard about the shootings and just took all the kids back to her house. And little five-year-old Sky Lynn just kept saying over and over again, "Where's my mommy and daddy? It's my birthday today. Where's my mommy and daddy?" So the cheerleader coach made a cake for everybody and had the girls play games, and they played dress up, and she painted all their nails. Because how in the world do you tell a five-year-old kid on her birthday that her parents went shopping and got killed in the process? Folks, sometimes life seems nothing more than a veil of tears. Well, the grandparents got all the kids and the families made funeral arrangements. And do you know what happened then that made everything even worse? When President Donald Trump and his wife Melania visited all the victims and their families in El Paso, Andre and Jordan's families met with them. There's a picture of President Trump and Melania holding little baby Paul. But do you know what happened after that made the grieving even harder? Liberals in El Paso sent death threats to Andre and Jordan's family for meeting with the president. Death threats to people who are already torn up by death. You talk about class. So how in the world are those families ever dealing with this? How in the world are they getting through this without pulling their hair out? Tito Anchondo, Andre's brother, said this: "This is by far the hardest thing our family has ever had to deal with. But the only thing that keeps us going, the only thing we can hold on to, is that Andre and Jordan trusted in Jesus Christ, which means they are in heaven now, and we will see them again someday. Without that, we miss them so much and hurt so much because of the way they were taken, we wouldn't even want to live ourselves." There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've got a story that's even sadder than that one, about somebody who died that you love very much. And to this day, the grief is absolutely ripping your heart out. But listen to me. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care what kind of circumstances may have made it even harder. What that Anchondo family is hanging on to right now is the only thing that you've got to hang on to as well. See, the resurrection and the life isn't just a thing. It's a person. Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose from the dead to destroy death and take to heaven every single person who trusts in Him as Savior and Lord. So the only chance you have to ever be with your loved one again is Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 19, "Because He lives, we will all live also, and you will see them again." The second reason why Jesus gives us hope in death is because Jesus destroys the power of death. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus gives us hope in death. Not only because Jesus died and rose again, not only because Jesus destroys the power of death, but third, because Jesus also destroys the fear of death. And we see that in verse 15. "And believe you me, that fear is real." Actress Jane Fonda said this on her 81st birthday: "I am constantly reminded that every single day I am getting older and closer to dying. And it scares me because I don't know what death is going to bring. And not only that, I am scared by the thought that after I die, everything that I am and have done just ceases to be. It's just terrifying." People, there's a woman who's scared to death of dying. Rapper Tupac Shakur, who got killed back in 1996, said this: "I'm not afraid of death being the end. I'm afraid of death not being the end and not being ready for what's really coming after it." The reason he was afraid is because he wasn't ready, because he wasn't trusting in Christ. But listen, Christians, even for us who do trust in Jesus Christ, even for us who are ready, the devil still tries to use that fear of death to rattle our cage. When my dad, Robert Garner, died of a brain tumor back in 1998, The oncologist at Riverside Hospital in Kankakee told me and my two brothers, my dad was probably born with that brain tumor, just took 64 years, the age he was died, to be a problem. And she also said, because my dad was born with a brain tumor, me and my two brothers probably were too. So I think, well, my dad died at 64, I'm 56 now, that means I got 8 years left. See what the devil does to get you afraid and to keep you enslaved? The only thing worse than death is the fear of death. So today, people are doing all kinds of things to try to distract themselves and keep from thinking that death is real. Nobody has funerals today. Because today we've got to call them celebration of life services. We see it on tombstones. This woman's husband had her fudge recipe carved on her tombstone. Because she said, they'll only get my recipe over my dead body. But notice, there's absolutely nothing there about death or dying. A guy named Michael Luther from Baltimore, Maryland, loved Atari so much, he had his tombstone made to look like a Pac-Man game. But now the game is over. Because he's dead. People today are being cremated and have all kinds of funky things being done with their ashes. The Greenview Funeral Home in Springfield, Missouri right now offers something called the Memorial Fireworks Package, where for $3,000 they will cremate you, pack your ashes in commercial-grade Roman candles, and then blow you up in a five-minute fireworks show so you can go out with a bang. People today are even hiring what's called professional funeral clowns to show up at the service and make balloon animals and squirt people with water from plastic flowers during the funeral to try to lighten the mood. Talk about turning death into a circus. George Swanson from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, stipulated in his will that when he died, he was to be buried in his 1984 white Corvette. So car and all. And he bought 12 burial plots to make sure there was enough room. So when George Swanson died at age 71, during the funeral, his wife put his urn on the front seat of that car, turned the engine on, and while his favorite Engelbert Humperdinck cassette tape played that song, "Please Release Me, Let Me Go," a crane picked up the car, put it in the ground, and buried it 6 feet under. And when his wife Caroline was asked about the funeral, this is what she said. "It was really hard because that Corvette only had 27,000 miles on it." Talk about being distracted from the reality and the fear of death. And see, there's only two things that destroy that fear. One is Jesus, and the other is the promises that He gives us. See, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 does not just say the wages of sin is death. It also says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 does not just say, as in Adam all die. It goes on to say, but even so in Christ will all be made alive. Jesus said, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, I love you with an everlasting love. And because that love is everlasting, that means it is not going to stop when we die. It's going to continue on. And even though we do have to physically die because of sin, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says nothing, not even death, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So John chapter 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Outside of Christ, we have everything to fear. But in Christ, we have nothing to fear at all. Because 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, perfect love casts out fear. Christians, do not be afraid you're going to miss out on heaven. See the Frank and Ernie cartoon? They're standing before God on Judgment Day right by the gates of heaven. God says, but I do have these nice participation trophies for you. That's not going to happen to us. We're going to get in. Last January, 37-year-old Victoria Brown from Worcester, England, had a winning lottery ticket worth $47 million. But then she accidentally ran it through the wash machine in the pocket of her blue jeans and never collected any of the money, because even though all the winning numbers were visible, the date and the barcode on that ticket were totally washed and faded out. But Christians, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, our ticket to heaven and our treasure in heaven is never, ever going to be spoiled or faded. Ever. Nanosecond we close our eyes in death, we're going to be in like Flynn. We're going to make it. We're going to be there. Jesus destroys the fear of death because Jesus changes what death really means. So for us Christians, death is not the end of life. It's just the beginning. Death is not leaving home. It's going home. Because our citizenship is in heaven. Even though we live down here, we really belong up there. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Volvo right now is making a special hybrid vehicle called the Transition. It's a car that has wings that fold out and turns into an airplane in less than a minute. But see, the gospel tells us that us cars can turn into airplanes too. So when we die, the road doesn't end, the runway does, and up we go. Some glad morning when this life is over, we'll all fly away. And Christians, we are cleared for takeoff because we have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And what happens if you don't have that? December 14th, 2016, Jeremy Richmond lost his 7-year-old daughter, Aviel, when she was shot and killed along with 19 other kids at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. In order to deal with the grief, Jeremy Richmond formed this nationwide study group. Thousands of people who constantly met and studied and researched to figure out why some people commit horrible acts of violence and mass shootings. He spoke and lectured all over the world, even testified before Congress about violence and mental health and grief and suicide prevention. Until last March the 25th, when Jeremy Richmond himself committed suicide. Because even after 3 years, even after all that work and all that study and all that involvement, he was still that torn up about losing his little girl. People, listen to me. Time does not heal all wounds. Jesus does. But see, Jeremy Richmond didn't have Jesus. The absolute worst experience that you will ever, ever have is seeing a loved one dead. And parents tell me, especially if it's a child, and there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this life that will ever, ever, ever really heal it. But something in the next life will. And that's Jesus and eternal life. When Jesus will make everything right and wipe away every tear from our eyes. And I know there's somebody listening to me right now saying, okay, Kevin, but how do we know? How do we know that when we die, Jesus is really going to come and take us to heaven? Back when I was 8 years old, there was a movie came out called Snoopy Come Home about Charlie Brown, who was in the spelling contest in a faraway city, and how Snoopy snuck along with him to that city and then never came back home. And I told my mom and dad I wanted to go see that movie by myself, which is a big deal because it was the first time that I'd ever done anything like that, separated from my mom and dad. Movie started at 6:30. It was over at 8. It was a safe time. My dad said, okay, this coming Friday night, I'll take you to town, dump you off at the theater. You can see the movie, and I'll pick you up when it's over. That was back in the day when you could leave a kid by himself at the movies and expect to get him back in one piece. So Friday night came, my dad drove me to town, he dumped me off at Don Merrill's Theater there in Watsika, hopped out of the car, got in, paid for my ticket, went in the auditorium, sat down and started watching the movie. But about 10 minutes into it, I started worrying. What if my dad isn't there to get me when the movie's over with? Because it was already dark outside. And it was 6 miles back home. What if my dad wasn't there? So I got up, walked out of the auditorium, past the concession stand to the front of the theater, to the front doors. There's windows in the front doors. I looked out. My dad wasn't there. Got worried even more. Didn't know what to do. I went back inside the auditorium, tried watching the movie. 10 minutes later, I got even more worried. What if my dad is not here to pick me up when this thing is over with? So I got up again, walked out of the auditorium, past the concession stand, the front of the theater, looked through the windows of the front doors. My dad's car was not there. He was nowhere to be found. I was really shook. Went back in the auditoriums, tried to watch the movie again. 10 minutes later, I was so panicked I couldn't stand it. I got up again, walked out of the auditorium, past the concession stand, the front of the theater, looked out. My dad was not there. What was I going to do? And about that time, Don Merrill, the guy who owned the theater and took the tickets and popped the popcorn, looked at me and he said, "Son, what in the world are you doing? This is the third time you've been out here." And I said, "Well, my dad told me he'd bring me to the movies and drop me off. And when the movie is over, he'd be here to pick me up. But every time I look outside and see, my dad is not there. What am I supposed to do?" And then Don Merrill told me something that I will never forget. He said, "Son, the reason your dad is not out there is because the movie isn't over yet. When the movie is over, your dad will be out there to pick you up, just like he said he would. Now go back inside and enjoy the movie." So I went back in the auditorium, forced myself to sit through the rest of it. Of course, Charlie Brown lost the spelling bee. Of course, Snoopy finally did get back home. That movie was over. They rolled the credits. I jumped up and ran as fast as I could out of that auditorium, past the concession stand. And as I was running through the windows of the front door, I could see my dad's green Ford Torino parked right there. Ran outside, jumped in the car. He took me home just exactly like he said he would. I found out later my dad spent the whole time in a coffee shop less than 6 blocks away. He knew exactly where I was. He knew exactly when that movie was over with. And when the movie was over, my dad was there to pick me up and take me home just exactly like he promised. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You are afraid, for whatever reason, of death and dying. Listen to me. Your Heavenly Father is never very far away. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what time your movie is going to be over with. And when your movie is over, He will be there to pick you up and take you home just exactly like He promised. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and pick you up and take you home so that where I am, you may be also. In the meantime, enjoy the movie." What do you want on your tombstone? Singer Frank Sinatra had this chiseled on his: "The best is yet to come." Then voice artist Mel Blanc had that chiseled on his: "That's all, folks." And you know what? Those are the exact same two options that every single one of us has with death and dying, all depending on the decision that we make for Christ. If you die trusting in Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven. The best is yet to come. You die without trusting Jesus as your Savior, that's all, folks. This life is over. And hell is just getting started. So it's either assurance or fear. It's either hope or dread. It's either heaven or hell. Two options, one decision. And you need to be sure about your decision today. You need to decide to repent of your sin, turn to Jesus Christ, trust the blood He shed on that cross as the only thing that can take your sins away, and give Him into your heart as your Savior. Because death does not have the last word. Jesus does. And it's a good one. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And by simple faith in Him, we will too. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for every person listening to this sermon right now. I just thank You, Lord, for so many believers in this church. They do have that assurance of salvation. Thank You, Lord, that You do want us to be assured. You do want us to know that we know for sure that when we close our eyes in death, we're going to be with You in paradise and in heaven. I pray for one person here today, one person in this room, one person listening to this sermon who does not know You. They have questions about salvation. They do not know about heaven and hell. They do not know You as the Savior. I just ask and pray that You would speak to their hearts, Lord, and they would come forward today after this sermon. They would talk to somebody when the service is over. Just make that relationship with You sure. Just thank You, Lord, for the incredible plan, mercy and grace that You poured out on us through Jesus Christ on the cross when we deserve nothing but hell. Just thank You for Your love. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.